the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
You can hear in the alley by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
We're back. Hour two on this Thursday. And talked about the draw yesterday at Penn National for the Penn Mile, and a terrific top-to-bottom stake card, which includes some state-bred action, includes the Match Series races, the second venue of five for the Match Series this year, and happy to have Todd Mostoller joining us. And Todd, this should be some nice afternoon and evening. How are you?
Good, Steve. How are you this morning?
You know, we're doing the we're going from international to Grantsville. We went from Hong Kong and Epsom straight out to Penn National, and this is, you know, this has got to be one of the best slates that, you know, that's come together. And it's a great hybrid between the Match Series and state bred action and the big grade too.
Yeah, well, when we sat down last year from a Match Series standpoint, and we're trying to put together a big day at Penn National, one of the major changes in the match was to run all four races at each venue, as you talked about yesterday, I believe. And we really think that that's helped and enhanced the Match Series. But obviously, the Grade Two Penn Mile is the showcase event. It's going to be an incredible card. We're hopefully that it's the biggest day ever at Penn National. If the weather can hold out on us, we've been getting thunderstorms roll through here about 5 or 6 o'clock each night the last 3 days, which you know, hopefully that stops and gives an opportunity to showcase a lot of stars on the card.
The topic and when this race was conceived, Dan Silver was there, and it was Dan's idea, and it much like I've brought up over the years with Eric Zimney about this kind of money being focused on a big open company and a, in this case, a race that very quickly got to graded status and then even elevated all the way to grade two. From a horseman perspective, is a day like this and a race like this, or in the case of Charlestown, the big Charlestown Classic, what's the feeling, Todd, as to the the value and impact, and is there enough? Do you get enough eyes on Penn National on the day for to bring people back to play regularly?
Well, that's the hope. We're doing everything we can to have it enhanced positive experience. This is the one day at Penn National. Obviously, was always it's a balance between your overnight monies and your stakes that you run. And we have a very low stakes percentage as far as our total purses, because we understand that the bread and butter guys that are here, on a yearly basis, they need to get the majority of the money. But at the same time, there's an understanding that it's a balance, that we need to have these showcase days to bring the stars that our patrons and horse players in Pennsylvania have seen run at other venues and from a national standpoint. I mean, you look at our nine-horse field in the Penn Mile, seven of the nine trainers have won a combined 11 Triple Crown races and 36 Breeder Cup races. We have Asmussen, and Mark Cassie, Engelhart, Kieran McLaughlin, Bill Mott, Todd Fletcher, Al Stahl. So it's the creme de la creme when it comes to talent as far as training horses. We also have the winning trainers, not only the Derby with Bill Mott, but Mark Cassie, also as the winning trainer of the Preakness.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
yeah,
it's those stars that people come out to see, and hopefully they get they catch the bug as you and I did a long time ago.
Well, and the other thing about this that is very frequently is brought out is the riders that come for a day like this, and for the players. For the local horse players and for the local fans, it's fun on that standpoint. They get some years. I mean, we don't have as many of the highest profile names that are coming out on Saturday this year, but certainly you do get them, and that's also a draw.
Right, Le Perroux, he'll be here to ride Moon Colony for Mark Cassie. He's rode seven Breeders' Cup winners. Luis Saez, the rider of Maximus Security. He'll come in to ride Thread of Blue for McLaughlin in the Penn Mile. And in the past, when those big riders have shown up at Penn National, they've gone out of their way and been very gracious to have sessions where they actually meet with the crowd. They'll interview those jockeys, and they've all been very gracious with their time. I know Mike Smith, when he was here a couple years ago, the respect that I had for Mike Smith was enhanced immensely based on how he handled himself and with the fans previous to the races. I think I can't recall if he actually won the race that year, but his contribution away from the racetrack was just as great as on the racetrack.
Well, it's a interesting group too, because there's plenty of speed, and it feels like everybody style wise should get a chance in the Penn Mile. As we move back through the card too, the rest of it has got a real mix from New York to Kentucky to the Mid-Atlantic, and obviously the Match Series races in particular, with the opportunity to earn the bonus money. And then there's the Pennsylvania breds that get their showcase early on the card. And that includes graded stake winner Call Paul, who shows up for the Danzig.
Yeah, when you look at the rest of the card, we have three all-stakes pick fours with a reduced 15% takeout. So we're hopeful that that draws a lot of action. But in referring to Carl Paul, he is an impressive specimen. I actually had the pleasure of seeing him live when he won the Swale. And if anybody has an opportunity to get out to the racetrack, you want to see a physical specimen, this horse might have the best shoulder on any horse I've ever seen. He's quite the physical specimen.
I talked about him early in the show because when I was going through the PPs and getting a handle on you know who's showing up and so forth, I was struck. And we've talked about this horse a lot because Gary Young picked him out for Michael Dubb. And the fact that he has been probably too consistent for everybody's liking in terms of ownership and Jason Service, he's just – I've never seen that before. He's had eight starts. It's very strange from an 80 to an 86 buyer and in eight starts, every start with 80s buyers. I've never really seen that. It's very strange. And I asked, I sent a picture of the PPs to both Buyer and to Gary Young to get some thoughts. I think that, you know, they're bringing him back to the Pennsylvania Bred Company, you know, you know, he had the opportunity. The only time he took advantage was in the Penn nursery at Parks in December, you know, which he won and won well. And then, you know, got a little bit of a freshening, came back and won the Swale. You know, but he got beaten the Bayshore. He got beaten the Gold Fever at Belmont in the slop. So I think they, you know, to bring him back to the friends, as they say. But there's some nice horses in here that have faced plenty of open company.
Well, Steve, when you're talking about Carl Paul and his consistency from a buyer standpoint, when you run an 80 buyer number as a July 2-year-old, there's not a whole lot of upward movement in the quality of that race at Delaware. When you look at Mind Control, who ran second, who's a graded stake winner.
Yep.
Obviously, that was a serious maiden special weight, the 6-horse field. You got 2 horses that go on to become graded stake horses. That's pretty spectacular. So there wasn't a whole lot of there is a lot of upside, but when you run that fast that early, you're not going to see those huge numbers up to the, you know, you're not going to see a 25, 30-point increase just because he was so fast early. But, yeah, the quality of the field is, obviously Carl Paul's the horse to beat, but we have some local horsemen in there that are going to take their shot, which we love to see. Our owner of the year, Thomas Coulter, he has a horse in there. Actually, he has 2 horses. He has a coupled entry for Rodrigo Madrigal, local horseman. The interesting horse to me is Shepherd, Jonathan Shepherd enters a first-time starter.
Yeah.
That's an unusual move for Jonathan. If he shows up, obviously the horse has some ability. He's got 3 bullet works in his last 4 works. So if Shepherd shows up, you're probably going to have to pay attention because that's a non-characteristic move for him.
Well, and in fact, by being a son of Hardspun, he's got a direct line to Danzig for the namesake race. You know, we also should talk about I'm glad you mentioned Tom Coulter because he and Madrigal also have got Philly involved in the new start. That is the first of the stakes. But I do want to mention the amazing story that has really kind of come out of really out of Pennsylvania. The Charlie Brown, the Eddie Coletti.
Uptown Charlie Brown.
Uptown Charlie Brown story that I think has not gotten nearly enough attention because he really has done it with a limited sampling of mares, and it's a cool story. They've had a lot of success, and they're mostly Pennsylvania breds.
Yes, I don't think I've seen one that's not a Pennsylvania person.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody took a mare to him and dropped it, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah, I do not know the answer to that. I do know that he's had a pretty terrific stud career thus far within the Mid-Atlantic and especially in Pennsylvania. And I'm sure he's not getting the quality of mares that he might be getting now because he just throws runners. In the Chocolate Town Sprint, there's two in there. One, they look like both out of a Spikestown mare. Well, how can that be? Well, one's a 4-year-old, one's a 5-year-old out of the
right. It's the brothers. Yeah. It's the brothers.
Yeah, no, that's extremely interesting. One's 8 wins out of 18 starts for 341,000. The other's 5 wins for 243,000. Never been out of the Exacta, Midnight Charlie. So apparently the Spikestown line, as far as a broodmare sire, is pretty strong there. But yeah, Eddie's done a great job. He's stabled down at Parks, the success that horse has had has been a surprise to everybody, probably except Ed Coletti. So. Now, there was the other race that we talked about, the new start briefly. We have some local horsemen in there, too, as you alluded to Tom Coulter. But, you know, from a gambling standpoint, that's a really good race. Dwayne Lucas is shipping in for that race. He's got a horse that won the A of the Van condition at Churchill in the mud. We're hopeful it's not going to be muddy, but if it would come up muddy, obviously that horse would need to be moved up. But there's a horse in there that I actually saw Breaker Maiden that was impressive, and I'll be looking at, especially at the 12-1 morning line, and that'd be Key Light. Now, she does draw the rail, but she's a closing type individual, and at 12-1, she's definitely going to outrun her odds. This is a nice filly. She's out of a Pleasantly Perfect mare by Munnings, and if you would go back and watch the replays of her, not only her maiden win, but some of her first start, she broke extremely slow, and it was an extremely impressive race. And then she, in her second start, she beat a filly by the name of Need Supervision, who is a painter filly, and she went on to win a graded stake in Louisiana. So that was a quality field that day at Penn National on October 13th. I'll be looking at that filly from a wagering standpoint. She's a really nice filly.
You know, you bring her up, and that Blue Mountain Juvenile and Mark Reed's Please Flatter Me, who found herself in the unenviable spot behind Covfefe the other day in Baltimore. And I talked to Mark after. I mean, she's been a filly we've followed, Please Flatter Me. And, you know, that whole division that came out of Pennsylvania has been productive. You've got that Ujjayi in here for Erin McClellan. Do we know where she's leaning? Because she entered the route race as well.
Yeah, I'm quite certain she's leaning towards the new start. As of yesterday, anyways, she had some discussions with the racing office, and that's where she was leaning. But she wanted to keep her options open, so she cross-entered. But yeah, that horse is obviously you go to New York. She went to New York and won the Ruthless, and she's kept top-notch quality. You know, Blue Mountain Futurity, you look at that race with Please Flatter Me, and then Please Flatter Me actually went on to win $100,000 stake race in Laurel. And I believe they ran 1-2 again in that race down at Laurel. So that form carried here from Penn National. And whenever we have those kind of horses that put up that kind of performance and take it elsewhere, especially when you cross the Hudson and go to New York, obviously you got to be a quality horse to go up there and win a 3-year-old filly race in January, as people are starting to look towards the Oaks. And that Erin McClellan's a fantastic horsewoman who's been here. She makes her home here, and it's just a great sprinkling of not only people shipping in but locals. And we're really looking forward to the day.
Well, the match series portion too. We talked about the Chocolate Town Sprint before that, the Penn Ladies Dash, and you've got some serious shippers for this. Eddie Barker comes out with Yorkie Poo Princess, the hard hitting 5-year-old Carrie Ann for Graham Motion. You got Crab Cakes, and in fact, there's any number of nice Maryland types that are on this card. Miss Locust Point as well for John Service. She's danced a lot of dances at this point. A lot of graded stake activity. I haven't
you know, looked at this too closely, but I thought it was a pretty nice group. In fact, you know, just looking at it now, it feels like Miss Locust Point may have them at her disposal, Todd, looking at this. I mean, they're gonna have to chase her, and I don't know who's gonna soften her up.
Yeah, there's not many horses that have the ability to soften her up. If you look at her form, I mean, the only time she's really been outrun early is in the Grade 1 Madison, the Grade 2 Princess Rooney. And any time you ship from a northern climb to Gulfstream Park for that day, it's tough for horses to do. That's a real tough for horses to do. But other than that, she's pretty much on the engine. And I don't see much that can soften her up in here. I think the race has to go through her. I know John Service had to like the weights also. It looks like pretty much 123 across the board other than the horse on the rail. So that looks like, I guess, the outside horse, too, is carrying 120 pounds for a local trainer and actually board member who's by the name of Flint Stites. And Flint's been instrumental in supporting these kind of programs as a board member so that we can put on the show like we hope for, like we intend to on Saturday. But yeah, it's Miss Locust Point, obviously 9 for 16, you make 600,000, you're a runner. She's going to be tough to take down in here, I would believe.
You got the girls going long on the turf in the Susquehanna, and 7 betting interest there. And then the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup. And it's interesting because that's a race that's got plenty of heritage, Todd, and it feels like, you know, turf sprinting has proliferated, particularly in New York. And I was a little surprised when I pulled the overnight up last night that, you know, that this one only ended up with 5. I mean, this is a race that, I mean, it's got a nice 5, certainly. I mean, when you got Pure Sensation, who scratched out of the McKay the other day, at Pimlico, but Square Shooter shows up for our friend Al Gold, and Maya, Completed Pass as well. Claudio Gonzalez, he's a 6-time winner in 9 tries. So you got three pretty competitive horses out of the 5, but I was a little surprised that this came up as short as it did.
Yeah, if there was a race that was a disappointment from an entry standpoint, it would definitely be this race, especially with 5/8 in the Mid-Atlantic. A lot of those horses will run back on, you know, 10, 14 days.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be an old horse in the Mid-Atlantic by the name of Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. I'm sure you remember. He run like every 6-7 days for Gaston Sandoval, and he'd just show up and win. He was, you know, so maybe there's some other races. I'm sure the Jim McKay probably took away a little bit from this race. You know, it is as a match series. Obviously, we were disappointed only to get 5, but as you stated, the quality of the 5 with Pure Sensation, you know, he's made over $1.5 million lifetime and 11 wins. Completed Pass looks like he's found a new, you know, he had ran 7 times in his life and obviously was a winning horse, but once he moved to the grass in his last 2 starts, he seemed to move to a different level. And I was there for when he won the turf sprint down there and at Maryland, and he was impressive. He ran extremely well that day, and looks like he's on the up on the upward trend when it comes to grass racing in the Mid-Atlantic. And if you can win in the Mid-Atlantic, as you know, Steve, these 5/8 grass races, they're quality horses. They're extreme quality horses, and I would look for a couple of these horses if they're able to get through the year to end up at the end of the road with the Breeders' Cup, and the Breeders' Cup sprint, which I believe with at Santa Anita, I would assume they're going to open up. They would intend to go 6.5 furlongs down the hill again.
I don't know yet.
I don't know the answer to that. Let's put it this way. The horses that are in this race will love for it to be 5/8.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I had that just had that conversation with Mark Glatt. And, you know, he's got kind of an either-or situation himself, you know, with options for both. You know, he's got Down the Hill Specialists, and he's got that Eddie Haskell, who won the 5-furlong version of the Daytona over the weekend. And that's one question that, you know, has yet to be answered. You know, and I the other issue with this with this race is the Jaipur being, you know, next week as well. And that's now six furlongs. And the Jaipur, you know, an awfully attractive opportunity, especially, you know, now a grade one. And that's a win and you're in itself. So I suppose that's taken a toll on the Governor's Cup as well, Todd.
Yeah, well, hopefully what will happen, actually, Naira did come into the discussions late from a match series standpoint, and we were just too far into the process to really include Naira into the circuit, so to speak. So I know they have interest for next year.
Oh, good.
So maybe as we really sit down and we really try to go through the races and the timing and the spacing to make sure or to do our best to ensure that we have, you know, the quality horse flesh that can compete in all the races. And with Naira's involvement, if in fact they do come in next year, hopefully we can avoid a similar situation next year like's occurred this year with the Jaipur. But like I said, we were too far down the road into the planning stage. And they'll get in on the front end, and hopefully they join into the match series, and we expand the series and avoid situations where we have competing races.
Well, and that's been, you know, that's been one of the challenges, certainly, and more in the Northeast than anywhere else, is the, you know, the working working together to, you know, to avoid duplication and trying to keep similar conditions apart when it comes to the stakes, and you know, that's, there is that racing secretary's meeting and the THA tie-in that, you know, they've tried to do that as well, and you know, all the work that went into match, you know, we've had these conversations with Alan Foreman, of course, and everybody has been, you know, so cooperative and making this, you know, making this happen and, you know, first of all, bringing it back, and then the adjustments from last year, the return and this year. But it's just a really a nice harmony of opportunities coming together with the grade two Penn Mile and then the, you know, the other existing events that got woven into the match, as well as the Pennsylvania Bred races. It's dynamite card. Starts, you know, somewhat into the afternoon and goes into the early evening, 7:50 post for the Penn Mile. And don't know yet. I would imagine, I guess there's an opportunity. Are you going to be part of the cross country pick five with Naira? Do you know?
According to a press release I saw yesterday, we are.
Nice.
I guess the first race is from Belmont, and then the remaining four are from our card.
Very cool.
Yeah, I don't know. With only reading about it last night, I was kind of concerned a little bit with a pick, because we have, as I mentioned, we have three pick fours. It'll be interesting to see how a cross country pick five that's basically Belmont and Penn National would potentially impact the sequence and the dollars that are wagered on the pick fours that we decreased that takeout on. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, you should be, I would think you'll be all right. Here, I'm just pulling it up. Although I've got to use the phone because I'm without my computer for another couple of days. I've got the new keyboard going in, and I'm just trying to see if I can pull up the. It's in the racing drop down online that with the schedule. But I would think, Todd, that it's going to benefit the pick fours, because once you, here it is, cross country pick five. There we go. Beautiful. Once you handicap the races, you're going to play both. I mean, it essentially here we go. The leg one is the Pennine Ridge at 5:18, and then the Susquehanna, the Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, and the Penn Mile is the, and if they're gonna handicap races, those races with you, the Susquehanna, the Governor's Cup, the Penn Oak, and the Penn Mile, you know, that's one of your three pick fours in itself.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. In the event that anybody gets knocked out, also
absolutely,
you've already
come right back.
The race, maybe you come back into the whips bowl trying to make a little score.
Exactly right. So the fourth
240. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the races 4, 5, 6, 7, the two Pennsylvania stakes are. That start out one pick four, and then there's a middle pick four, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and then the late pick four. I like what you did here with the three of them and all stakes.
Well, I think the key was the getting permission for the 15% takeout. As the horsemen's organization, we've had numerous discussions. And as you know, a lot of horsemen are horse players, and, we've had numerous discussions with management on how we go about improving the game, especially when we have competition from alternative wagering. Now, obviously, you know, we have a casino here, and we have to be creative and do the right thing for the player. And unfortunately, fortunately, in this case, we've been able to get it done. Sometimes those discussions don't go nearly as well as our side would hope that they do, but in this situation, we all came together. We got a 15% takeout. We have the first post 245, and as always here at Penn National, we got general parking and admission are free. So if any listeners are out there, and come on out for a great day of racing and see some of the stars that are national stars come to the local racetrack here in Grantville.
I love it. Got to ask, too, you know, there was a story that I mentioned before Triple Crown season, and I haven't seen anything subsequently about using the Equibase's the GPS timing system that Mahoning Valley and Penn. How has that gone? It's been about 6 weeks, I think, since it was incorporated, you know, officially as the timekeeper. Have you had any feedback at all?
I can tell you that the first couple of days it was utilized, boy, it seemed like the races went really fast. now we did hand time them. We did hand, and we did set a track record one of those nights, but, you know, in hand timing it, I think it was accurate. I know there's been some glitches, but with anything new, you're going to have some glitches, but I think they've worked through those glitches. And actually, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I haven't heard a word about anybody in favor or complaining. So in this industry, if you're not hearing anything, most of the time that's a good thing.
You know, are they using it, Todd, as well for the workouts?
Not for the workouts, I do not believe. No,
not
only
yet?
Only
okay.
For the races. Now, I know the intention is to, you know, move it to expand it to the workouts. The logistics of trying to get a chip to. You know, the individuals who will be working horses that day and things like that, those are the things that would need to be worked out. But for the races, it seems as though the glitches have been worked out, and it's running smoothly at the moment. Now, I do know the individual who's involved in that, and, you know, like in your situation, a computer goes down, now you're scrambling to find, you know,
yeah.
to solve
yeah,
the
yeah.
problem, but they've been able to... been able to get it done so far. So
are they still using the teletimer as a like a backup?
I do not know the answer to that, Steve. I would think they would use the teletimer as a backup, and then ultimately with the video technology today, we can pretty much hand time, or not hand time, but digitally time it right off of the video. But I do know they go through and make sure that the times are accurate and accurately reflected before they put the charts out. So
well,
we know that it's good information.
Exactly. And it's also, you know, it's a progress that I bring up the workouts, because that is the next level that, you know, ultimately when every horse gets microchipped, you're going to, you know, you'll be that much further down the road on this topic. And, That's coming. I mean, that's the next wave, as well as, you know, digital vet records, thanks to the microchipping, and, you know, there's some real positives that are associated with this. But, you know, accurate timing, you know, goes a long way. It's appreciated by players, and it's a story that hasn't gotten a whole bunch of attention. So I wanted to get an update. Otherwise, Todd, how'd you make out on the sales front? You done buying 2 year olds, or are you pretty
full up? Bought one. I prefer to buy the yearlings, but there was a filly at Timonium, and I felt I was fortunate to strike early. She was hip number 4. So I think the longer that sale went on, the higher the prices got. It just seemed like the second day that there was. You think you know something, you know, you go to a lot of those sales, and you think you become educated, and then you go, everyone you go to, you realize you don't know a whole lot. they can be humbling, but I was happy with what I got done, and we'll see. I'll let you know in about a year.
All right, there you go. I love it. What was the breeding? I don't have the catalog in front of me.
It was a Declaration of War filly. Out of the mare of Harvey Wallbanger, and apparently it was an interesting story. The consigner indicated that the owner of the horse had bought the horse out of the back ring at Keeneland, and basically turned her out in Amarillo, Texas. Happened to be looking one day after Harvey Wallbanger won the Holy Bull in early February at Gulfstream. Realized that they had a half to Harvey Wallbanger and called up the consigners and said, hey, listen, I got this filly. She's been turned out in this field. Can you get her to a sale? And the individual said, well, I'm going to the Timonium sale. She better be really smart to get there. And she got there, and she breezed extremely well and galloped out. I think she had the 9th fastest gallop out of the entire sale, and she worked on day one, which was the slowest of all days. We had some weather, and
they
delayed the under tack show for 2 hours to get the track ready. But she worked in 10 and 2 and actually broke off late and galloped out in 23.77, which was, like I said, the 9th fastest gallop out. And I felt there was some residual value there with her being a half to Harvey Wallbanger. And wasn't really looking for a horse, but it's one of those situations when you have an opportunity, you see what happens, and we were able to get her, and we're tickled to get her.
I love it. You got a name for her yet?
Well, she was actually named. Her name is Bells of War. Yeah, she was already named when we bought her, which helps in my situation as a managing partner of a syndicate. Sometimes naming horses is one of the toughest things to get done because everybody's got their own
exactly.
opinion.
Exactly. Well, and you know, you bring up one other thing, and I've talked. You introduced me to your man Mike, and you mentioned the gallop out times, and he and I talked. He was right on top of the sale in April, and so he didn't want to come on, but we got to get him on because he's got a fascinating product that it's not just for the sales, you know, those that are interested in buying. 2 year olds in training, but also for horse players. And we got to get him on. I talked to him while I was in Kentucky, and you know, he was right in the middle of OBS at the time. So he said, let's wait till after Timonium. So I do want to get Mike on.
Yeah, I think that would be a very educational experience for your listeners. Obviously, one of the biggest issues in handicapping is first time starters, and other than backside buzz, which, you know, you don't know what to believe half the time. He's got a good eye. He knows what he's looking at. He sold a lot of good horses in his career, and he puts together the sales booklet. But now he's trying to expand the website, I think, is betbestbreeds.com, where he actually rates the breezes of all the horses. And it's a situation where it can be a very nice edge in your handicapping for those first-time starters as we get to July, August at Saratoga. And the ROI is pretty substantial when you look at last year's. So he's hopeful to have the same sort of record going for this year once those baby races start. But it's extremely interesting concept, and he's good at what he does. And I think once people see it and they start to believe it, it's really going to gain some traction.
And there was a blurb about it last year, and then when you mentioned it, when we were together in Florida in March, and I had a great conversation. He explained, you know, everything behind it. So for those that, you know, just as a quick aside, betbestbreeze.com, and we'll get Mike Mulligan on. With Timonium wrapped up, is he now shifting down to OBS for June?
I would imagine. Actually, he called me yesterday. I know he's traveling. He went to see his family, and he's supposed to call me sometime today. So he, might be an opportune time. He might have a little break before June. I think June. When's the June sale? Like the? Well, I got the catalog right here. Yeah, June 12th through the 14th. So
yes,
those, you know, Mike. Under tax shows will probably be like what, 6-7. So he probably has some time, and I'm sure he would appreciate you giving him the opportunity to explain what he does and how he does it to your listeners.
Absolutely, it's a good concept, and there's people hear reference to it at the time at Del Mar and at Saratoga. You hear people referring to, you know, the breeze and how the horse breezed, and this is. A little bit of, I guess, yet another area, Todd, where, you know, where the information that used to be really private has managed to reach the horse player. And, you know, for years, the sheep, players, they had an edge. And these are, you know, this is another area that, you know, somebody's converted the concept, you know, to let people get their hands on this kind of a tool, one more way to evaluate, you know, the readiness of a young horse that's going to debut. And when when we start looking at, and there's been plenty of 2-year-old racing going on already, but you don't have to wait till Saratoga for it. But when you look at a field of 8 or 10, and maybe one or two have started, you got very little to go on. You've got trainer reputation. You've got some workout information, limited, a lot of it's guesswork. And so it's one more tool in people's hands. So we'll get Mike Mulligan on in the next week or so.
Yeah, the great thing about his product is, and I followed it last year, and you'll get some prices, especially in those baby races at Saratoga. You know, there's 10, 12 top-notch horses in those races or top connections. Yep. And how do you separate them?
Exactly.
It's a tool. And a lot of times what I'll do is, anybody that's, he rates a 1 or a 2, and at Saratoga sometimes there's 3 or 4, comes down to how the horse looks, one, and what the price is. If they're equally scored by him, there's been plenty of horses that have paid over $30 that have either a 1 or a 2 score from him off of their breeds.
There you go.
So it's information that, from an ROI standpoint, if you're selective and look at other factors to draw your own conclusions, but it can
exactly
be a tool, and it's been a very productive tool last year, and I see no reason why it won't continue.
No, I love it. We'll get Mike on, and Todd, I appreciate it as always. We'll see you at Saratoga, or may even see you at Belmont next week. Coming up?
No, I am not. I will be up for Saratoga. I'll be up there for the select sale. Actually going to go to Hootie and the Blowfish the night before the sale. So
I love it. That's great.
We'll be there, and we'll have to grab dinner again. We seem to have enjoy our dining experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Todd, thanks so much, and best of luck to everybody on Saturday. Weather looks okay, and it should be a tremendous afternoon and evening at Penn National.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time, and I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to talk about our fantastic day that we have here Saturday.
Absolutely, and we'll be handicapping and playing it as well. Todd Mostoller, everybody, Penn National, and a great day Saturday, and some other interesting elements, between the Pennsylvania breeding and the match series and more. Let's take a break here. We got some Tony Black. We got Steve Haskin to come. Rich Eng. Second half. It's Thursday at the races.